told her there were no problems with this bridge. The work that was referenced earlier in our coverage with construction workers on the bridge resurfacing. It was not structural work. It was simply resurfacing and crack filling work. And we are being told that there probably were construction crews finishing up their day who were on the bridge when it went down.
Glenn Barber joining us again. Glenn.
Cindy, I'm here again at University and 10th Avenue with a gentleman named Michael. And Michael, we're live on the air right now. Tell me what you did as soon as you witnessed this bridge collapse from a distance.
I ran down as fast as I could, screen that got taken out, went past all the debris, and I made way past the first section of bridge that was taken out, and looked around. There were some people that were kind of helping people out there, but I wanted to get back down. I wanted to get to the water first just to make sure that nobody was drowning.
And Michael, you were saying the reason that you ran down there is you're first aid certified.
Yes, that's right.
And did you see anybody that was injured or needed immediate attention?
Pretty much all over the place, really. I mean, in some sections, there was a big pileup of cars, as one section would crush down, maybe you'd say a 50 to 100 foot section of bridge would go to a 45 degree angle and all the cars would just smash up on top of each other. Rocks and chunks of bridge would, in some cases, were on top of other cars. There was a couple of cars in the water, too, that had chunks of cement and slab part of the bridge that actually smashed them down into the water. And some people in those people's circumstances could make it out.
All right, Michael, thank you for that firsthand account. John, again, as you were mentioning, a lot of people just jumping right in, running to help as soon as they realized the significance of this event. We also talked to another person who was just about to cross into the broken bridge area, and she described the light, the street lights starting to wobble and then fall. She slammed on her brakes, and she did it in time. So just a lot of amazing stories out here of survival. But again, it looks like that there may be some disasters for some families as well. John, Cindy?
All right,
Glenn.
Thanks. Let's go to our newsroom right now. Actually, what you're going to be seeing are pictures that our Steve Sean, photographer Kevin Buback, took shortly after their arrival on the scene, which was shortly after this happened. Steve?
And just to remind folks, that spot where Glenn he just did that live report is, for the first 45 minutes after this thing happened, there were civilians directing traffic. That really struck me. And we're going to give you a little taste of, quite honestly, the chaos of what we encountered when we got on the 10th Street Bridge. Go ahead and roll that tape.
Look at the cars.
Whole cluster of fire trucks and policemen.
The cars were all stopped, so we got off. I mean, as we came around, we saw that the bridge was out. So I ran down, because I'm a first aid responder. So I ran down there, and there was just mainly the people that were there dropping each other out were people that were already that were involved in the crash. It's pretty crazy. There were just, like, some cars were, like, completely flattened.
And then there was family members running. I seen a man, my daughter's in the water, and he was running to the, like, trying to get further down right by the accident.
So many people wanted to help, and they still want to help, but stay away from that area, folks, if you can. The emergency crews are getting down there. The right people are getting into place. Let them do their jobs. You stay away from that area, the traffic will flow more smoothly, and it makes the whole operation go much better. Back to you, folks.
All right, Steve, thanks. We're looking at videotape shot by Chopper 5 a while ago. I want to show you some still pictures, too, that our crews were taking along the way. Take a look. It happened at the worst possible place at the worst possible time. That's a 35W bridge in the river.
And this one was sent in specifically by one of our viewers there who had a view very possibly from one of the apartment buildings that surrounds the area,
right.
Or there are parking ramps that surround the area.
Yeah, and that was one of the first witnesses we heard from was a guy who lives right over the river, heard the rumbling some, I think, 10 stories up, and looked out and couldn't believe what he was seeing. Again, these are still pictures of the scene, really giving a perspective of what has happened over the river and in the river.
This is going to be a mess in this area, and that's an understatement and probably the wrong choice of words. hours to come. So what we want to do is to give you some alternate routes if you have to travel in that area. And I would guess that only if you have to travel, but it would be I-94, Minnesota 280, 35E, or Minnesota 55, or in the West Metro from 100 or 169. Again, some of these north-south routes, of course, 280, 100, 169, 35E, 55, cutting across the city.
We need to get those on our website, and I don't know whether you can let us know. I'm sure they are, because the guys with our website are good about getting the directions on the website. It's a whole lot easier to see it in front of you on a screen than it is to listen to us talking about it out here. So we're going to get those alternatives for you on the website so you can figure out how to get to work tomorrow if you choose to go to work tomorrow. What can you do if you need information? Let's talk about that. First of all, the Red Cross is working on getting a website up. We heard about 15 minutes ago that it would happen any time now. It's 8:05, so we're hoping within the next hour or so the Red Cross will have a website up so families of victims can contact relatives. They hope to have that going soon. It is not a phone number, not a hotline. It is a website. You're asked by the various cell phone companies in the Twin Cities not to use your cell phone no matter where you are unless it is absolutely necessary, because there is a huge volume of cell phone traffic in this area. You're seeing, you're asked to hold off on the cell phone conversations if you can. And if you live in downtown Minneapolis or the surrounding area where U.S. Internet provides the wireless Internet service for the next 12 hours, probably till about 7:30 tomorrow morning, the Wi-Fi will be free.
Good evening, everyone. This is Matt Thomas, live at the Metrodome here on AM 1500 KSTP. We are your proud home for Minnesota Twins baseball. Obviously, tonight's events on 35W taking precedence over what is happening here. Just FYI, we're in the bottom of the third inning, make it the top of the fourth, with the Twins leading by a score of 1-0. Dave St. Peter, the team president, is with us here at the ballpark. And, Dave, you've got an announcement about tomorrow, not only with the groundbreaking, but the game itself.
Yeah, man, obviously the Minnesota Twins, the Kansas City Royals, Major League Baseball, very concerned and about the tragedy tonight, and decided that the right thing to do is for us to postpone tomorrow's game, 12-10 game against the Royals. We will announce in the near future when that game will be made up. And in addition to that, of course, we've also decided in conjunction with Hennepin County and the Minnesota Ballpark Authority that we should postpone tomorrow's groundbreaking ceremony for our new ballpark. And that will be rescheduled in the near future.
Let's talk about the events here as of about 6 o'clock, the decision to play the game and then not play tomorrow.
Well, it was a difficult decision. We were made aware of the tragedy like everyone else around that 6:30 time frame. And we had some internal consultation as well as with some individuals with the Department of Public Safety, and it became pretty clear to us that the worst thing we could do was cancel the game and have 20 to 25,000 people disperse at that time when first responders are working to rescue people, help people, and that added traffic would have been a significant challenge, particularly understanding that this tragedy occurred just blocks from the Metrodome. So that to that end, we decided to play tonight, as difficult as it is. But we felt as though tomorrow, for the same reason, that we didn't want to add incremental traffic to this area that would probably be in the best interest of everybody, let alone just the response for those individuals and those families impacted by this tragedy, that we should not play baseball tomorrow.
And unfortunately, Dave, as you know, this route at 35W Washington Avenue, a prime spot for folks to get to the Metrodome.
No question. It's certainly been weighing heavily on our players' minds, our organization, our front office, the concessions workers. There's a lot of, obviously, people that probably are tied to the Twins that we worry about maybe were impacted by this. We don't know yet, Matt. Right at this point, all people are spoken and accounted for, but there's no question there were people that were making their way to this ball game tonight that were on that bridge, and our heart goes out to everybody that's been impacted.
You've got the Cleveland Indians coming in on Friday. What has been determined at this point?
We'll determine that in the days to come. We're just not there yet, Matt. We're dealing with tonight. We're dealing with tomorrow. At this point, there's been no decision made. I anticipate that we'll play, but I'm not going to commit to that until we get a little bit further down the road.
So everybody, as far as your organization is concerned, that you know of, your front office folks, have all been accounted for, do you know?
As of right now, that's correct, Matt.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, tomorrow's game. Thank you, Dave, for the time. We appreciate it. Dave St. Peter, team president, joining us here on AM 1500 KSTP. Tomorrow's game with Kansas City, scheduled for a 12-10 first pitch, has been postponed. It will be rescheduled later in the year as the Royals are due for one more trip into the Twin Cities. Also, tomorrow's ground groundbreaking ceremony to take place opposite the Target Center in downtown has also been postponed. Again, this is Matt Thomas. We're coming to you live from the Metrodome. The score is 1-1 with play in the top half of the fourth. Boot Bonzer is on the hill for Minnesota. We'll give you more updates throughout the night as they warn, but obviously with the coverage going on of what's happening at the 35W in Washington Avenue, that certainly takes precedence. Back to our live coverage. Let's get to Nancy Fox in our newsroom with more details, and then we'll also send you back to our friends at 5 Eyewitness News over their coverage as well. Nancy?
All right. Thank you, Matt. I really don't have much more to add, but for those people who haven't looked outside recently, you can see we do have some rather gray clouds to the north. Dave Dahl was earlier saying that there's the possibility of some isolated severe storms tonight. Nothing like that showing up in the immediate metro vicinity on the radar at this hour. But certainly with darkness coming within in the next 45 to 50 minutes would hamper some of the rescue efforts on the river. And we also understand that southbound 280 is closed right now. So with that, we're going to send it back to our sister TV station, KSTP-TV, for their continuing coverage of the 35W bridge collapse.
BP gas station, if you're familiar with it, it's directly north of this accident, and they have been moving in heavy barricades now to shut down for quite some time, obviously, this section of the bridge. There are thousands of people lined up from the Stone Arch Bridge to the Washington Avenue Bridge, where I am here, that stretches near the U, lined up watching this scene, and they are moving these barricades in place. I also saw quite a few boats, three or four, going down this on-ramp to try to get to the shore here, try to get to the river so that they can put them in. As you've been seeing all those pictures, they can use all the help they can get right now. So they've been moving those boats into place. And there are a lot of construction workers gathered at this on-ramp here just waiting to see what they may be needed to do. So that's the latest we have from here. But again, John and Cindy, just learned here that Governor Tim Pawlenty will be coming down to the scene here within the next hour or two. Back to you.
All right, Mark. While we wait for that development to unfold, let's go on our phone right now to Ted Canova from the Minnesota Red Cross, playing a very critical role right now in a very chaotic situation. Ted?
Good evening. It is chaotic, but I'm happy to report that the heroism and professionalism at work throughout the Twin Cities is unbelievable right now. Earlier in the night, I was down by the river, down the hill from Kauffman Union, where boats were being put into the water with divers for search and rescue. Other boats were standing by, other divers standing by, and they were trading out. So when divers were getting tired, they'd come up, they'd get in the boat, and they would come in and out with others waiting. And there were dozens of boats waiting to go in afterwards. Here at the Red Cross, we're the staging area right now for law enforcement officials, but more importantly, for a busload of 60 children. I believe I saw it on your station, the bus that fell right next to that burning van or burning truck. I'm told that miraculously that bus fell from the bridge and landed, if you can believe this, on all four tires. And because of that, no doubt, a miracle in the making. If that story holds through the night, it's incredible. Because
yeah. Ted, did you say 660 children?
60 kids were on the bus. No one was critically injured, seriously hurt. There were a couple of kids, two to possibly a dozen, that were transported to the hospital. I think the last count might have been 10. We presume that they're meeting their family members at the hospital.
Ted,
can you give, in 10 seconds, tell us if the website the Red Cross is going to put up is going to be up anytime soon?
If not, we are working, not triage, but we're staging this right now. We still have dozens of kids here waiting for family members to show up.
All right.
A news conference is going to start in probably about 15
minutes. Ted, we're going to cut you off right now. I apologize for this, but we're going to go to Hennepin County Medical Center, and you probably...
KSTP, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Right, Cindy, look right over here. Dr. Joseph Clinton and Christine Hill updating us all on the situation.
We have a mic up there, Pat. Right now.
So far at HCMC, we've seen 22 non-critical patients, but seriously injured patients, and six critical patients, one death. We have emergency response teams set up on both sides of the bridge that are triaging patients to the Twin Cities area, from the north side to north side hospitals, from the south side to south side hospitals. The critical patients from the south side have come to HCMC. Types of injuries are typical blunt type of injuries from motor vehicle trauma or fall, which means injuries to the head and face and extremities. The problem with these types of injuries is you don't know the extent of the internal injuries, and that's what we're determining right now.
Can
with
you elaborate
X-ray.
More on the death, the cause of death?
We believe that the cause of death was a drowning.
Drowning.
And there may be more at the scene. I don't have information on the scene.
Age, gender of the victim?
I don't have that either. Sorry.
Can you tell us a little bit about how it works with patients that are brought here? I mean, there's quite an elaborate.
We have a very well-developed disaster response team, which we have drills on periodically through the year. But basically, we set up a triage center, and then we have a physician and nurse team at that center. We call in personnel from the hospital of all types, people to transport patients, nurses, doctors, administrative people to help with the logistics, security to help with security type issues and locking down the perimeter. And then we sort patients into those who are critically ill, those who are not critically ill but ill and have injuries requiring intervention urgently, and those who are what we call the walking wounded, those with minor injuries.
Have you been told what to expect? Have you been told what to expect the rest of the night?
Do you want to know how rest of the night?
The question is, have I been told what to expect for the rest of the night? No, we don't know what to expect, except that typically in a disaster situation like this, it will be patients who find their own transportation to the hospital. They may go to any hospitals, as any of you might. If you were at a situation like this and you could get out of there, you would find your own way. So we expect patients to be trickling in, but those typically would fall in the walking wounded category.
Are the people critically injured? Are they children? Are they adults?
We have the ones that came here were largely adults. I'm told that there were 6 children that went to Northside hospitals from the north side of the bridge. In the hospital? The scene in the hospital is very well controlled. We have a command center on the second story of the hospital with good communication with the emergency department. We have leaders in each of the 3 areas of the emergency department. Nursing tasks have all been assigned in advance for this type of situation, so we keep track of patients very carefully and resources very carefully. We have a personnel pool on the second floor so that they don't all congregate in the emergency department, and communication back and forth so that we get the help that we need.
Have you notified the family of the person who died? Are they aware?
I don't have that information. We have a family center set up.
Based on what you've seen in terms of the damage, at this point, after what happened, do you expect it to be more crowded at the hospital, or is this what you expected?
I think this is it's unknown what would happen when how many people were on the bridge or how bad the falls were, so we had no idea how many patients we would get.
And how about drowning victims or people in the water? You've been told to prepare for any of that kind of stuff?
Well, we have one drowning victim here, and I believe there are more drowning victims at the scene. Who?
Doctor, have you ever seen anything like this before?
I've never been in a bridge collapse before. We have one of our faculty was at Kansas City at the high collapse, and says that this is very similar to what happened there.
Do you know at any point in the night, whether it gets to 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, do you expect that people to just keep coming in through the night, or to reach a point where you realize that it's probably slowing in the exit?
I think we'll reach a point, and we're probably rapidly reaching a point where we've seen the most seriously ill patients.
And the person who died, did that person die here? Did they arrive dead?
I don't have a lot of detail on that because I wasn't involved in the care of that patient, but I believe that patient probably did not have vital signs when they arrived and they were pronounced here, although I'm not sure of that.
From your vantage point,
I think we had an outstanding response of our emergency medical services from public safety, fire, police, paramedics, the various paramedics services in town. We have medical directors in emergency medicine that responded from North Memorial, from HCMC, from Waconia, and from elsewhere around. So it's a well-organized system that we have drilled many times and seems to work very well.
Has there been anything to hamper your efforts at all?
Not really. I mean, in any disaster situation, the 2 biggest problems we have are communication and transportation. Our transportation has worked very well. Communication is always a problem, as you know, trying to get information about this is very difficult. The people at the scene are too difficult to transmit repeated information. So the necessary information is transmitted, and well, the details will follow, and you'll probably be reporting more of the details than we have right now.
What sets apart the critical injuries from the non-critical? What is it about?
A critically injured patient is a patient who has a life threat to one of their body systems, either breathing or their heart or blood pressure, or they're in shock, that type of thing.
What have you heard about these, though, that make them critical?
These patients are critical because of potential disruption to major organ systems, chest injuries, head injuries.
How are you dealing with communicating with families and getting everyone out of the path?
We have a system in place for that, but that's not my charge. We have other people in charge of that, and they have organized the children have not. I'm not sure how many children. I saw one child here. I believe most of the children were sent elsewhere.
We do have some kids here, though, and I imagine parents are dealing with parents trying to locate their kids. Can you take each of the process?
We don't know. I don't know. I don't have information on parents, whether parents would separate from their children or not. I don't have that information. We've had an outstanding response, and we have all the people we need right now.
How many doctors, paramedics, and nurses would you say are involved in the whole operation, roughly?
Well, that's a guess. We have, that would be a guess, hundreds of paramedics from around the Twin Cities. We have 100 paramedics here. Our nurses have all been alerted, 100 of them in the emergency department, nurses from the critical care units. Our whole medical staff was notified. We have 5 emergency physicians, similar number of surgeons. We have internists and pediatricians and other specialties that have responded. The blood bank has responded. Our pathology director for the blood bank is here. We've had an outstanding broad response from the medical staff and the nursing staff.
How quickly was your team on scene once you got the word?
How quickly was I on scene?
Or your response team for...
We have emergency response team all here all the time.
Dr. Joseph Clint from Hennepin County Medical Center talking about the injured and the fatality they have at HCMC. One person dead, he thought, dead on arrival at the hospital. 22 non-critical injuries, 6 critical injuries, mostly blunt trauma, as you would expect. Mostly adults, he says. He's heard of 6 children going to Northside hospitals who were also injured. And he says the accident at his hospital is rapidly slowing down.
Let's go to Rod Simons. He is at a briefing at the Red Cross Command Center with police officials.
I don't have any numbers.
Hi, City, we're joining the news conference with Amelia Huffman, who is the spokesperson for the City of Minneapolis Police. Here we go.
Any information about casualties or fatalities? There were people who were injured. There are people at local hospitals. We will be getting that information, so it'll be available to families. What we do need people to know is that we do not need any more help on the scene at this point. We don't need any more civilian help, and we do not need any more officers to report to this scene. Minneapolis police officers who want to assist are asked to report to their precinct to help cover calls for service. So we ask that no one else approach this scene because the traffic is jam-packed. We have plenty of assistance from a variety of law enforcement partners, and we don't need anyone else on the scene.
Ms. Huffman, there are reports that there are 20 construction workers unaccounted for. Can you respond to that?
I cannot confirm that. There were construction crews working on the bridge, and we are working to identify all of those crew members who've been accounted for and anyone who may be unaccounted for, but we do not have numbers for you at this time.
Have there been any fatalities of those construction workers?
I cannot answer those questions.
What are they doing to try to rescue people?
There are boats in the water right now. Hennepin County and Ramsey County Water Patrols are both in the water currently looking for any victims who need to be rescued.
Who is ready?
At this point, preliminarily, there is no indication this was anything other than a structural collapse. We're investigating. Investigators have interviewed people who witnessed the events leading up to the bridge collapse, people who were there at the time of the bridge collapse, and anyone who might have any information about it, including people who are being treated for injuries at the hospital. And at this point, there is nothing to suggest that this was anything other than a structural collapse. We will continue to investigate, and folks around the city may see our personnel, as well as other city personnel, do sweeps at other bridges. This is a precautionary measure.
You have a lot of people working from various agencies. Who's orchestrating everyone to go which way, and how do people know what they're supposed to be doing?
Sure, that's a good question. We do have a lot of people here from, medics, police, fire departments, the water patrol,
federal law enforcement is out here assisting us as well, officers from other jurisdictions. We have a command post set up. There is one incident commander. We work under an incident command system that was developed by the federal government for large-scale incidents just like this. And everyone has a job to do, and everyone has a person who's in charge and has their marching orders.
Are you still searching the river?
Yes. We are still searching the river. There are boats in the water now looking for anyone who needs to be rescued. There have been a number of children who were on scene during the time of the bridge collapse who have been treated and are being reunited with their families.
Where again should families go?
I can't answer any more questions about fatalities. I don't have numbers for you at this point. There will be a press conference of updated information at 8:45 p.m. at City Hall, and Chief Dolan and Mayor Ryback will be speaking at that point.
One more time, where can the families go?
And that's the news conference with Huffman.
All right, Rod, thanks for that. By our count, we're going to go to Ted Canova with the Red Cross in just a moment here. And this is a new video just into us that you're looking at right now, the rescue operation. We, by our count, by the hospital count, 35 people injured, one person dead. That according to HCMC, where they received a fatality a short time ago.
Ted Canova is with the Red Cross. Now, that's where that police briefing was just held, at their headquarters. Ted, can you bring us some fresh information?
Sure thing. The Twin Cities Red Cross is the staging area right now for law enforcement officials by the river. We've got a lot of law enforcement vehicles in our parking lot. Communication masts are up for them, the mobile command unit for the police and for the sheriff. The Twin Cities Red Cross it was the location where the busload of kids was brought. 60 kids came here. They were comforted by staff and volunteers of the Red Cross. They had mental health counseling if they needed it. They had emergency treatment if they needed it. I believe a dozen, maybe 10 kids were transported to area hospitals. You'd heard, I think, the doctor saying that there were six. Our count may have been up to 10 that left here in ambulances. There was an incredible emotional reunion here. You could just imagine every minute another five family members were showing up. With warm embraces, tears, concern. The kids were certainly comforted, but you can just imagine with all of this hullabaloo, with all of these law enforcement people in the parking lot, with helicopters overhead, with boats. I'm looking at a boat in the middle of the street here, a St. Paul police boat. You can imagine with all of this attention, even if you weren't physically hurt, there just must have been some kind of trauma, and we're happy to say that we had the volunteers in different rooms with different kids.
Let me interrupt you real quickly here, if I could, Ted. I don't know if you heard me last time we were on, and this is a wonderful picture you're painting for us. Red Cross is going to have a website up soon, is that right, so people can get information, is that right?
Well, the Red Cross website is redcrosstc.org. You can imagine we haven't gotten in right now updating it. Our communications person is doing that right now, but folks can either log on to redcrosstc.org. You know, I'm sure this is going to break a couple of budgets around the Twin Cities today. If there are people generous enough out there that would like to donate, we have a donation hotline. The number is 612-460-3700, and we have people standing by just in case people are inclined.
Thanks
to
so
help.
Much. Thanks so much, Ted, for that update, and we'll be checking with you later. Thanks again.
Sure thing.
Okay.
If 60 kids on that school bus survived this and are being reunited with families, there is a miracle. There is a miracle in all this mayhem.
Allison Triarcy, now she is at the north end of the bridge. Allison?
Cindy, that's right. Behind me is the northernmost point where this bridge collapsed. I want you to take a close look at that red car. There are six cars there that are crushed and collapsed. That red car had a pickup truck fall on it. I am standing with the woman who was inside of that red car, Melissa Hughes, a mother, a baby of just 3 months old. She's actually right there, everyone. That's little Olivia, and Melissa was able to walk out of this accident. Tell us what you saw.
We're really lucky. We're at a dead stop, and I remember seeing things suspended in air that aren't supposed to be people and cars, and feeling kind of a free fall feel. Falling a little bit. I stepped on my brake and grabbed my steering wheel, and I didn't know if I was going backwards or not. And then suddenly there was a loud crash, and I saw that my rear window had broken out. I was gathering up my things, didn't know really what to do. Turned off my car, and this guy came up and asked if I was okay, helped me out of my car. And I don't know where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do.
Melissa, did you even hear it before it happened? And did you know a pickup truck had fallen onto your car?
I had no idea a pickup truck had fallen on me. And I don't know if I heard anything as it was happening or not. It's all kind of surreal. And,
but you did see people.
I swear, the construction worker that I saw suspended in the air. We got down, and it wasn't until I got down below, and I was kind of hysterical, and I turned and saw that there's a pickup truck on top of my car. We're lucky, though. We're lucky. Everybody on the side are really lucky.
Did you say that you felt a series of falls as if it was...
It felt like it was twice, that there was a fall and a fall. So I don't know if the initial was falling and then when it hit the ground, I don't know.
And tell me, when you were on that bridge, you said you weren't even moving. Traffic was so heavy.
I don't know that we were moving at all. I mean, maybe we were going a couple miles an hour, but I don't think we were moving.
And were there cars all around you?
Yes, it was solid cars. It was definite, you know, bad construction rush hour. It was really, really stopped.
And cars were actually falling around you, and then
it seemed like, yeah, cars, the tires seemed like they weren't on the ground. They just looked like everything was just kind of suspended in air.
And immediately people started to help each other on that bridge.
Yes. Yes. I'm assuming a lot of the people that were helping were people that were from this company here that's right next to it.
My goodness.
Lucky.
Like,
we're just so lucky.
And so is that little one, isn't she?
Yeah.
3-month-old Olivia. Thank you. Thank you for talking to us. Again, at the northernmost point of this bridge, there are 10 cars involved on this part of the accident. This is the staging area. Firefighters have been coming in and out of here, as well as ambulances, construction crews trying to look underneath the bridge to see if they can see anything that went wrong. As you heard from Melissa, people literally walked down that broken bridge and walked to safety. Everyone here, I am told by police, came out alive. However, there certainly were injuries, but we do know they left here breathing. That is the very latest here from the very northernmost point of this bridge collapse. Reporting live, Allison Trier, Safe 5 Eyewitness News.
All right, let's go to Dave Dahl right now and see whether weather is going to be affecting this situation, some of these rescue and recovery efforts. Dave?
Cindy and John, you're looking at SkyMax 5 right now, and the highlighted red circle is actually where the collapse occurred. And the good news is, a little bit of good news here, is that that storm that was approaching from the north has totally collapsed. There are some showers, though, from Roseville up through Little Canada and Badness Heights, but now it looks like in the collapse area, and for all the efforts that are underway there, they will be rain-free the rest of tonight.
Good news.
Thank you.
Joe Mazin, live in the newsroom, joins our coverage now. Joe?
John and Cindy, you probably heard this before, and you will hear it again. Seeing this accident up close in person was truly unbelievable. A scene right out of the movies. Photographer Mickey Us and I just got back from the accident. We were on a nearby pedestrian bridge, and here's what we found. It's that view high above. People came here to this pedestrian bridge south of the accident to look, to see what exactly happened. It left some speechless. It brought others memories.
Sort of reminds me of a 9/11 type of feel to it.
It's sort of unreal that you see the cars just sitting there like collapsed, dropped.
It's terrible. I don't know how this could have happened. I've never seen anything quite like it in my life.
Many brought cameras here. We saw many people with cameras, with cell phones, trying to capture a moment in Twin Cities history.
It's kind of an eventful thing, and just wanted to get some footage of it.
Most of the people on this bridge live in this neighborhood. They came down here because they use that bridge every day to get to and from work.
I could have been on it. My family could have been on it.
But you don't know if your friends who live around here are there over there, or it could be anyone you know.
I take that way sometimes. This time I happened to go through the city.
There was nothing people up here could do. They couldn't help, only watch. But some did the only thing they could think of.
Lord, pray for me. In the name of the Lord. Amen.
As we were leaving, even more people were walking onto that bridge, many on cell phones, calling family and friends, describing the accident and telling them they were all right. John and Cindy?
Joe, thanks. Let's get back up to Chopper 5 right now. Honestly, the chopper had to land to pick up some fuel and picked up Bob McNaney, too. Bob McNaney, our reporter, who handles a lot of these very sensitive, security-oriented stories. And, Bob, you're in the chopper right now. Head to the scene.
Yeah, John, that's the closest we can get right now. What is happening now is because there are so many aircraft
As we mentioned, we saw the National Guard Air Ambulance take off. There are other state troopers that are flying around. There's so many emergency aircraft, if you will, working this scene right now. Everybody else, including commercial aviation, has been pushed out 3 miles in all directions and 3 miles up in the air. So we just talked to the Minneapolis Tower, and they've cleared all the traffic out of here so that those emergency helicopters can get in and out as quickly as possible and as safely as possible. And as you were mentioning earlier, weather has been kind of a factor as well, too, because it's just kind of a nasty night up here, especially just to the north of the downtown. Earlier, we were talking, John, about the security issues involved here, and we should reiterate, because the cameras will get shots of the FBI agents walking around. You'll see the FBI in the back of their jackets. Paul McCabe from the FBI here in Minneapolis says, yes, we are down there. Yes, we are investigating if to the point that we're asked to by the state. But at this point, officials here in the Twin Cities and with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security in Washington say there is no indication that this was any act of terrorism or that there were any threats against this bridge. So at this point, law enforcement is treating it as an accident. John?
Just to make it crystal clear for people, this is the closest that your helicopter, you and Ken and the helicopter, are going to get to this scene.
At the moment, yes. If between the weather clearing and maybe if the emergency helicopters get out of there and are finished with their thing, we may be able to get a bit closer. So hang with us.
Okay.
In the meantime, we obviously have very good pictures that Ken and Denny got earlier tonight.
And we have some new video, too, that we want to run that we haven't seen yet. We'll take a look at it as we tell you a little bit more about the injuries and the fatality that has been confirmed. Now, CNN is reporting three people dead in this bridge collapse. We know of one person who was taken to HCMC and was dead on arrival at HCMC. Again, new video that we're looking at for the first time along with you. We, by our count from the hospital, confirmed injuries count 35 people who have been taken to various hospitals, including six people in critical condition at Hennepin County Medical Center, another 22 with non-critical injuries. As you can imagine, blunt trauma injuries to the head and to the face. And again, this is video we're looking at for the first time just into our newsroom.
And as you saw those people filing by there, we do have a piece of possibly related information on this. There are some reports that there are some concerns with the 10th Avenue Bridge, getting people off of the 10th Avenue Bridge. We're just warning people to completely stay away from that scene there because there is very much traffic around there and possibly some sensitive pieces of other structures there as we're learning what's happening. So please be aware of that.
MnDOT planning to talk to us, we were told, between 8:30 and 9 o'clock. That should be happening any time. Now, we heard from the MnDOT spokesperson a little bit earlier saying there was no structural problems with the bridge. The crews that were on the bridge were working on surface issues. We're filling cracks. We're resurfacing the bridge. And you heard the Minneapolis police talking about addressing the concerns about the construction crews that were on the bridge. They are looking for those workers. They're trying to account for them. There is an active search going on in the river right now looking for survivors, people they can rescue.
We do have word now from Hennepin County Medical Center that the one fatality that they have confirmed was a drowning. And the report from Hennepin County Medical Center is that this victim was dead on arrival, dead before he arrived at Hennepin County Medical Center. Again, we don't want to turn this into a morbid list of victims and bodies, but we will try to keep you informed as we get this information.
Let's hear from another witness now we have on tape, and that person will tell us what they saw.
The bridge collapsed.
Did you see it?
No, I was about seven cars behind. All I saw was white, and it's just there's cars in the water. There's a semi on fire. There's a school bus on the bridge. I don't know if it was filled with it. It's a mess.
Well, our apartment just started shaking. We come out, and the bridge is down. I mean, what else is there to... I can't describe it. There are cars in the water. I mean, there's like 20 cars in the water at least, and I mean...
All right. Thank you very much. Now, we're joined here in our studio by former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine. Commissioner Levine, you were commissioner in the Perfich administration, and in fact, actually all the way up until 1991, when Governor Carlson became a commissioner, and you were the commissioner when there was there was a bridge collapse, not a similar bridge collapse, but a bridge collapse.
It brought back vivid memories to me. Coincidentally, I just came back from Washington, D.C., and I was in the office of Congressman Overstar and went to the airport. And when I landed, my wife called me and asked me if I had heard what had happened. So it brought back memories of what happened that Friday night when the Lake Street Bridge collapsed. And when I arrived at the scene, I was there before, right away. I don't live far from there. And there was a lot of miscommunication. There was a disconnect. We thought there were 21 people killed. And so I know what they're going through, and it's and I know what they're going to be going through.
It appears that we have of course we do have improved communications, the technology alone, John.
And we're going to have a news conference at 8 in about 6 minutes, so we're going to warn you right now, Commissioner. We're going to be bouncing around here a little bit. The City Hall, the mayor will be there, the governor will be there. We had pulled from the University of Minnesota website this report, and I don't know how specifically you can talk about this, but walk us through this language. It's from 2001. The research helped determine that the fatigue cracking of the deck truss is not likely, which means that the bridge should not have any problems with fatigue cracking in the foreseeable future.
I'm not a structural engineer, and I think you need to talk to a structural engineer to answer that specifically. But I can tell you that in Minnesota, we have close to 20,000 bridges statewide. At any one time, the statistics will show that there's between 40 and 50% of those bridges are rated deficient. Now, the deficiency can be structural deficiency. It could be rusting. I mean, there could be a number of different things. And so it doesn't mean that half of the bridges are ready to collapse. Across the country, there's close to 600,000 bridges. That same percentage applies across the country. I think what will happen here in Minnesota now is what happened when the Lake Street Bridge collapsed. It'll be a reassessment of the inspection procedures and all across. You know, it's not only the state federal system that we're talking about, but it'll force in further inspections and increased inspections at the city level and county level. And this is not the time for anyone to criticize anybody. And as far as the, and I just want to say this too, about a week ago I was in the bridge office here at MnDOT. The chief bridge inspector or an engineer, Dan Dorgan, is really one of the finest, most experienced bridge people in the country.
And he has spanned many administrations. He's not a political
appointee. No, he's not a political, and I think you really want to talk to him. I'm confident that at MnDOT, in the bridge office, there's a high degree of competency, as good as any place in the country. And what's complicated here now is that there's debris, there's people, there's cars, they'll have to block off the bridge, they have to block off the river. They have to salvage what they can. We had rain also in those years, and that complicates it. It's a very complicated and very trying situation.
Is the Minnesota Department of Transportation the primary body that inspects overseas and that will be involved in any kind of, reconstruction of what's going on?
Well, as you know, there's a close working relationship between the Federal Highway Administration, and there's a local office here, and the Minnesota DOT.
So
they work closely together. And I know the people at Hennepin County and Ramsey County, they're really competent bridge people there. So, you know, this will renew the discussion on funding, how much you can patch, how much you need to reconstruct. All of those issues will now come up again, as they do whenever there's an incident like this.
And we're being told that the work being done on this bridge today, patching, filling cracks, routine work, summertime work, no significant structural work. That goes on all the time.
Well, I remember when I was commissioner, the Wabasha Street Bridge in St. Paul was over 100 years old. It had a kind of a pin. It was news to me how that was constructed, and they said that time, if you get too much traffic on the bridge at any one time, vibration can cause a problem, or if somebody hits a pier, it can knock it over. So it's frightening, you know, to people. And you have to rely on people who are trained in the structural engineering field. So that's why I say I think the public can know that MnDOT, and to answer your question specifically, we're in good hands with MnDOT. What they find here is another issue, but I'm sure you're not going to find incompetence on the part of the bridge people. I mean, I know who they are, and they're very, very qualified. But what happens now in this whole process, I guess we'll have to find.
It's a 40-year-old bridge. Is that a baby by bridge standards?
Well, bridges can go a long time depending on what kind of maintenance it's had, what kind of repairs. And traffic's increasing, as you know, 4 to 10% a year. The roads are getting clogged. There's heavier trucks today. There's vibration that causes these problems. Bridges get an overlay. It's like putting sometimes a Band-Aid on a cancer. You can only repair them so long until you have to replace them. So I don't know the specifics of this bridge. And as I said, when I got off the plane, I was shocked. I looked at the TV and I know just from actually what I've heard now.
That breaks your heart.
That's horrible.
Let's get another report then, if you don't mind staying here, Commissioner Levine. Let's take a look here. Go out to Bob McNaney, who is in Chopper 5. Bob?
Yeah, we just want to give you a perspective of how broad-based this problem is going to be. Obviously, we've got the human tragedy on the ground, but this is going to be quite disruptive. We are over Rosedale right now, and what you're looking at is where MnDOT has closed the 35W-36 interchange as far east as Rosedale. So 35 all the way to downtown from here is closed, as you can see. There is traffic coming back from the north, but it is only coming about a mile or so. So basically, the north and the east side of 35W is shut down, as you can see, and traffic is being routed to the north. So again, we're over in Rosedale. If you're in the east metro, this is as close as you're going to get to downtown Minneapolis along this particular interstate.
Sorry. Cindy, John? Hey, Bob, thanks. We said it a little while ago, and it's apparent and obvious. This bridge is in the middle of everything. It is in the middle of it all in the Twin Cities, and that is a real example of how this is the domino effect of what's happened here.
Joining us right now is former Transportation Commissioner Len Levine, and you mentioned traffic management is going to be an issue now because of exactly what has happened, where it's happened.
Well, in my years being out of government, I've been involved in a lot of traffic issues, and in recent discussions over in San Francisco with security people there, they were telling us about some of the concerns they had if the Bay Bridge went down, or what happens to traffic. Mm-hmm. Well, here in the Twin Cities, every bridge is vital, obviously, and what will happen now is that traffic congestion will be a huge problem, because on the interstate system, we're pretty good. MnDOT has loop detectors implanted in the ground. There's sensors, there's cameras, there's ways to detect what kind of traffic is moving and how fast, where it's going, and so on. But there's no way to determine, because there aren't loop detectors, there aren't sensors on secondary roads and on arterial roads. So when people who normally use this road need to get from point A to point B and there's no bridge, they'll have to figure out, and MnDOT and the city of Minneapolis and others will have to figure out how they can get from here to there. And that's going to be a problem. And when you're reporting the traffic conditions in the morning on Channel 5, people are going to tune on and they're going to want to know, what is it like where I'm going? How do I get to University Avenue, or how do I get to? And it's going to be a huge problem, because there isn't a system in place here now to be able to determine that.
Yeah, but I would encourage people to go to our website at some point before your morning commute and find out what the alternatives are. You can pretty much imagine what the alternatives are, but it's a lot easier to look at it on a screen and map it out and figure out how long it might take you to get to where you need to go than for us to detail the roads, which we'll do. But then again, look at it in front of you and really map it out, because this bridge collapse is going to send ripples through the Twin Cities for months and months and months, if not years.
And we are going to be hearing from both Mayor Ryback and Governor Pawlenty about 9 o'clock tonight, so that'll be just in about 15 minutes, give or take, and their arrival there. And we also have a statement from the University of Minnesota that the U of M police and emergency management are actively supporting the recovery efforts. And finally, here, a note here that parents who are picking up their students who are attending freshman orientation, which of course is back to school time, should park in the Oak Street ramp and meet students at Centennial Hall. Now, this was a U of M freshman orientation update. We realize that all of you are affected by this, but probably the best advice we can give you is, if you do have something or someone that is involved in that situation, to call, to make a phone call, and on a hard line, not a cell phone, by the way.
We are monitoring the goings-on at City Hall right now. We're waiting for Mayor Ryback and Governor Pawlenty to talk. We have differing times now. We're being told 9 p.m. by one source and 8:45, which is 3 minutes past, obviously, but it should happen sometime between now and 9 o'clock. We'll get the latest information from the mayor and the governor. We were told the governor was going to go out to the scene. If he hasn't already, he will be out there shortly. The rescue efforts going on in this
Cars Bridge area, not hampered by the weather. Thankfully, the weather moved off to the northeast. As you could see from Chopper 5 a while ago, it's raining in the north metro, the near north Twin Cities metro, but not in the area where firefighters and rescuers are trying to get to people.
Now, we have had Hennepin County Medical Center and Fairview Riverside actively involved, both of those medical centers reporting code orange, basically disaster responses here. And according to Hennepin County Medical Center, 28 injured people have been treated. That includes 6 people who are critically injured. There has been 1 fatality. We are told that fatality was a drowning. It was a person who had expired before he was actually brought to the hospital.
We have a witness on the phone with us right now. Kathy Newmark is on the phone with us. And Kathy, you talked to our producer about the smoke that you saw. Is that what tipped you off that something was going wrong?
I would say I was maybe 15 cars behind what was happening, and I had no clue except for the car started turning around, so I kept thinking there must be something, a really bad accident, like a gas, a gas truck that exploded or something. And as I turned around, I could see the billows of, like, black smoke. It was really, I had no idea what was going on until I actually got home and saw the views of what was going on. I had no idea.
And Kathy, where were you at that point?
I was beyond the 10th Street Bridge.
Okay.
And so probably about 10 to 15 cars in front of me, I could see them turning around. I could also see cars that got over to the sides and people running. And probably about 5 or 10 minutes after cars started turning around, 10 or 15 cop cars came as fast as they possibly could.
All right, Kathy, thanks very much. We're glad you're okay. Jacob Reynolds told us what he saw. We have that interview for you on tape right now.
I ran down there as fast as I could, ran down by the bridge, and I saw the best thing for me to do was to stay the hell out of the way. I took some pictures with my digital camera that I had with me, and then just watched.
What was it like? What did you see? Can you even describe that?
No, the guys, I just felt a lot of fear for the guys that were working down there. They were right on the bridge, right next to it. Cars were exploding. There was, popping, big, explosions, and I just didn't know what was going to happen to those guys. There was a car that was sandwiched between the bridge, and the front was missing, and the back half was on fire, and the fire department was, the rescue workers were putting the flames out. And then I saw the bridge collapse right in front of me, and I was underneath the bridge, and above me, the bridge just was down.
Can hear it in his voice, can't you?
Yeah, you can hear it in everybody's voices that we've talked to, and it's amazing the number of people that were actually right on top of what is happening, and we'll be bringing those interviews again. John?
Spokesman for Minneapolis Police, here's a quote. There were 2 lanes of traffic, bumper to bumper at the point of the collapse. Those cars did go into the river. It was bumper to bumper traffic, folks, at the tail end of rush hour. Right now we have 35 confirmed injuries. We have 1 confirmed fatality by Hennepin County Medical Center. We know that at least 6 people are in critical condition at HCMC. Their trauma folks, the emergency room, good doctors and nurses there are working with those people right now.
And to give you an idea here of how many entities are involved in trying to bring order to this chaos, of course, in addition to the medical personnel, we have structural rescuers who are trained to go into spaces where it appears that nobody could survive. For example, underneath one of those tires and try to see if there is any kind of survivor. We do have multiple law enforcement units. We have been told by the Minneapolis Police Department that any officers who wish to help at this point do not go down to the scene but simply report to the precincts. We do have National Guard medical helicopters which were hovering overhead, and we also of course have various state and federal and local authorities, transportation officials who are now going to be involved in this. That would include the Minnesota Department of Transportation and the Federal Highway Administration, which will be the lead agencies on this, joining with county and local officials. John?
School bus on the bridge that you've seen over and over in our video. We're told by the Red Cross there were 60 students on that bus, and all of them are okay. They were in a summer program. They were coming back from the summer program. They managed to avoid the serious area of the collapse, and then people walked up and caught kids as they jumped out that back door to get out of the bus and they got into the Red Cross, and we were told by the folks over there that there were a number of reunions with parents. If there's a miracle, that's the miracle. Here's another sign of what's going on out there. At HCMC, Hennepin County Medical Center, people are showing up to give blood right now. HCMC wants you to call the Red Cross if you want to give blood. The number is 612-871-7676. As awful as this looks, and it is, there are people stepping up to the plate and trying to do the best they can.
We had just concluded when we will bring you that interview again here shortly. Ellison Triarzi, who is on the north end of the bridge, had an interview, and we hope you were with us to see it here. A young mother and her baby caught in a car, and when you look at what happened here, and you look at these cars, and this woman was caught in a situation just like one of these cars here, and she walked out with her infant. It is one of those stories that you hope that there's 100 more like it, 100 miracle stories exactly like the one that young mom just told us.
We're going on 3 hours now since the bridge collapsed. We want to take a look at sort of a before and after, and that is going to really put into perspective the breadth and the depth of this tragedy. On the left, a still picture of the bridge, the 35W bridge, familiar to everyone who lives and works and drives in the Twin Cities. On the left side, still pictures, and on the right, there it is. That's what's left. It's on pavement, it's in the water, and right now there's a rescue going on to try to get people out of there.
64 feet is where that bridge was in the air, 64 feet collapsing into the water. This bridge is a span. It is not attached by piers. It's a span of steel. And in other pictures that you'll be seeing here shortly, you will see what that steel looks like. You would never imagine a stretch that probably would be obviously strong enough to hold tons and tons of automobiles turned into matchsticks.
I was reading a statement here from Congressman Oberstar. Did you say 200,000 cars a day crossing that bridge? That's a staggering figure, and I can only imagine how that figure has grown in the past 5 years and how much more traffic is on that bridge now than there was 5-10 years ago. Congressman Oberstar, who of course is a main man on Capitol Hill in the area of transportation, was on the floor of the House when this happened. Jim Oberstar saying that talked about the bridge being 40 years old, a tragic occurrence, wants to make the observation in the midst of consideration of various bills that are being debated in Congress. It's an indication of how important it is to continue our vigilance on the integrity and condition of the nation's traveled roadways. That's about as far politically as I want to go tonight, because there are much bigger questions out there right now about what's happening out at the scene and how they're getting to these people who hopefully can be rescued. This is new video coming in of the injured being brought away from the scene and to the hospital. This is Hennepin County Medical Center. This looks like it's at the scene. My gosh, just getting people off the bridge and getting them into an ambulance and getting them some care.
Let's go to Steve Shaw in the newsroom, because much of this was video that he encountered directly. These were scenes that he encountered directly, rather. Steve?
Yeah, Cindy, I'm looking at the video of the injured, and it really, it was a good, 20 minutes before we saw some of these folks being taken out of cars that had not gone in the water, but were on the, on the bridge, but were not actually in the Mississippi River. It took a little while to get to those people, and I remember I said that I thought there was going to be maybe at least 50 cars on that bridge at the time that it collapsed. I'm not going to come off of that. May have been more. Not saying that those are the ones that went in the water, but just that were on that bridge at that time when it happened. I'm telling you, I could say 50 cars, and that may be conservative. That's the scary thing to me about all this, because I couldn't believe what I was looking at. Just a lot of folks that are still, I'm going to tell people who are watching this, don't go to that area unless you have to. That's for the emergency crews. They are on scene. I mean, the FBI's even on the scene. We saw a Black Hawk helicopter, flying above. I mean, the right people are in the area. Let them do their jobs so we can get these people the aid that they need. John and Cindy?
Steve, thanks a lot. Now, this is going to touch a lot of people in the Twin Cities, and I just want to mention one of the people that was injured that I just saw on that videotape is a guy that I work with a lot on the job, just talking to him about various things, and you just glance down, there's somebody you know. And that really speaks to how many cars, how many vehicles are on that bridge, and how far-reaching this tragedy is going to be. I hope he's okay.
Right.
He was grimacing in pain. I hope he's okay.
That is, it is in the nerve center there of the
Twin Cities, and when you look at it from above, you see exactly how many arteries and how many acres of land, and certainly how many cars would be affected by all of this. We have on the phone with us one of our producers, Becky Nam. Becky?
Yes.
Becky, you were just speaking to firefighters. Is that what I understand?
Yeah, that's correct. I was talking to Minneapolis firefighters who actually I'm right now looking at some firefighters from Maplewood as well as Minneapolis. They're all kind of standing around in sort of a wait mode right now. They tell me that everyone that they believe that they were able to rescue has been rescued. They're now waiting for a structural engineer to come onto the site to try to make sure that that's safe for them to go back in there and start their recovery work.
You know, Becky, say this again. You're talking to firefighters who say that they believe that everybody has been taken out?
They said that as far as they know, and this is just one Minneapolis fire crew, that they've actually been called back, pulled back a little ways off of the bridge,
mm-hmm.
to kind of wait around to make sure that they can get a structural engineer into the site to make sure it's safe to continue their work.
So what they're saying then, Becky, is that everyone they can get to safely right now is out of the water, and they're waiting for the go-ahead to go back in to see if there's anyone else in there?
That's what they're telling me.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so they've done a lot of work so far. Now they're waiting to make sure it's safe to go back in and get some more work done.
All right. Brad Satin's on the phone with us with more on some of the victims. Brad?
Carolyn Marinin, she is the Hennepin County Public Affairs Director. We're here at the County Government Center. She's on the phone. I'm going to try to step in and ask her a couple quick questions. I know the Twins game is getting ready to let out. Carolyn, what are you advising folks as they're leaving the dome?
Yeah, from the Minneapolis Police Department, obviously understand how crowded it's going to be. They're asking folks leaving the dome or anywhere near that area to go 4th Avenue south onto 35W South as they're trying to get out of town, or 3rd Street West, which apparently feeds into 394 and 94, and please avoid Washington Avenue. Another piece of information, Brad, is the Minneapolis Police asked if people have questions about victims, loved ones, or their victims themselves, I guess, and they're not, severely injured, obviously, to report to the Holiday Inn Metrodome, and that's in the Seven Corners area in Minneapolis. That's off of Cedar and Washington, the ballroom area. So I think they're trying to figure out what to do with all the questions, all the people who have questions. I'm sure they're all calling.